So where do we find hope and vision for the future when everything feels like it's falling apart? A question which in recent times has been at the forefront of people's minds more and more. I don't know what your vision was for 2020, but I doubt any of us expected this year to turn out quite the way it has. And there are going to be things that each of us are grieving the loss of. Plans that have had to be cancelled or postponed. Friends and family we long to see. While we know there is a plan for easing the current restrictions, we don't know when things will happen or indeed what life's going to look like on the other side. And so for many people, conversations I'm having are, where do we find hope? Where do we find vision for the future? How do we keep going? Time. And as Christians, we're rooted in Christ and that he is the rock that gives us our solid ground. But that doesn't mean that there aren't times where hope might be hard to find. We need encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Christ as we stand firm in our faith, as we know that God is working for the good of all those who love him. And so in our current situation, I wonder if we can begin to empathize more with the disciples in our passage that was read to us from Acts chapter 1. They'd given up everything to follow Jesus. While we see in the Gospels they didn't understand fully everything Jesus was trying to tell them, they knew that their hope and their future was in him. And despite his warnings and his attempts to prepare them, their lives fell apart when the cross happened. They watched their hope being crucified. And before that wonderful resurrection appearance, that first Easter day, we saw a group of disciples hiding in fear behind a closed door. You've then got this period of 40 days where the resurrected Jesus has been appearing to them. And in your sermon series, you've been looking at different resurrection appearances, continuing their preparation and training for what comes next. But as we reach Acts chapter 1, Jesus is about to go once more. And indeed, at the end of our passage, we see him ascending into heaven. And for me, I imagine that being their hope and their faith being tested all over again. So this evening, as we look at this promise of the Holy Spirit, I want to ask that question. How was their hope sustained at that time? And what can we learn as we step out in our lives, waiting for life to change, but knowing that we still have a commission from God? And I want to look at this under three broad headings: believing, receiving, and leaving. Believing, receiving, leaving. So first of all, believing. In verse 4, we read that Jesus commands his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift they had been promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. During his earthly ministry, Jesus had tried to prepare the disciples for his departure and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18 are a really good place to start when we think about what the disciples already knew, what they heard about the Holy Spirit. In these verses, we hear the Holy Spirit is a gift given by the Father to all believers, a gift that will be with believers forever. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. He is the one who will be involved in both the proclamation of truth, empowering believers to witness to the truth of the gospel. But the Spirit also has a role in helping people understand the truth, enabling those hearing the gospel to understand what it is they're hearing. And Jesus finishes that passage in John's gospel, promising the Spirit lives with them and will be in them. The disciples didn't fully understand the words that Jesus spoke to them then. And indeed, in our passage today from Acts chapter 1, we see the disciples still aren't quite sure what Jesus is talking about. They ask in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, whether the coming of the Spirit would be a political restoration of the kingdom of Israel, not fully able to grasp how much greater the power of the Spirit would be. But despite not being able to fully comprehend in a human sense, the disciples believe. They know Jesus. They know that his promises are true and that his promises can be trusted. And so even though their vision for the future may not be particularly clear, they know the one whose voice they hear. And so they follow his command to wait in Jerusalem for that which he has promised. I wonder what promises of God you're holding on to and believing in during this time of lockdown. Are there verses of scripture you're going back to, helping to remind you of God's faithfulness and promises, even when the future may feel unclear? The first challenge for the disciples was believing. And then we see a reference to receiving. In verse 8, we read the promise that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. I wonder if you've ever experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I became a Christian as a teenager through my incredible high school Christian union. And it was a time of something called the Toronto Blessing, where the Spirit of God was moving powerfully across the church. And as I walked into prayer meetings and worship meetings, people would fall to the ground as the Spirit came upon them. People shed tears of repentance. Prophecies were given. People were commissioned to do different things for God. I saw and experienced the power of the Spirit in an incredible way. And through this, my understanding of the gospel was transformed. I began to understand what it meant to be a true disciple of Christ. The great stuff about that and the sacrifice that involved. It was wonderful and amazing, but it was also incredibly dramatic and quite scary for those who weren't sure what was going on. And I believe that the Spirit of God still comes upon people in that incredibly dramatic way today, giving words of knowledge, healing, power. I believe that as we meet together and pray and worship, we can experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us. But as my journey of faith has continued, I've started to learn the more subtle ways that the Spirit is present in my life. I experience the enlightening of the Spirit as I open the Bible, as I study scripture and want to go deeper, asking, Lord, what's happening in this passage? And the Spirit of God speaks, opening up the word in a real and living way. I experience the comfort of the Spirit when I run out of ways to pray. Desperately wanting to communicate to God what I'm trying to say, but just not having the words. And the Spirit intercedes for me, making that prayer. I experience the empowering of the Spirit as I share the gospel, particularly those times where I think, Lord, you really want me to speak? Or I'm just not ready? Or what words do I say? And that prayer, Holy Spirit, I need you. And God comes and empowers me using his words and his vision. I experience the prompting of the Spirit to come back to God in repentance when the times I mess up and think, Lord, what do I do? And the Spirit comes and says, come back to God, repent, turn away and turn back to Jesus. I experience that sense of the Spirit being ever present, equipping me to be a true disciple of Christ, guiding me in all that God's calling me to and filling me with the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. And as we wait at this time of lockdown, that promise of the Spirit is for us too. We can all pray for the power of the Spirit to come upon us, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time. We can ask the Spirit to equip us as we live our lives, to enlighten the scripture as we read it, to intercede for us in prayer when we run out of words, and also to give us a hope and a vision, an ever deeper faith in Christ in all that we experience each day. So we've seen the disciples believing, we've seen them receiving, and then we consider them leaving. In the second half of verse 8 of our passage, we read the commission, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, this group of people will be sent out to witness to the gospel, sharing the truth of Jesus with all who would listen and drawing people back to God. Reading this verse alongside its counterpart in Matthew's gospel, I'm struck by the immense task that they are given. In Matthew 28, verse 19, the commission the disciples are given is to go and make disciples of all nations. And as I think about making disciples, it helps me to understand what the heart of witnessing to the gospel is about. As the Spirit empowers them, they're not called to simply tell a nice story. They're called to be disciples and to witness to the gospel, not just with their words, but also with their lives. One of the things I'm struck by again and again in ministry is how difficult it is to make disciples if we ourselves are not living lives which reflect the gospel. And so as the disciples and the people are filled with the Spirit on that first Pentecost day, we read next that their whole lives change. The Spirit empowers them first to be true disciples, living lives where the truth of Christ and his word shapes everything they do. And it is from a place where their own discipleship is prioritized that they can go and bear witness to Christ and make disciples of all people, with the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Our time of waiting is a great opportunity to reflect on our own discipleship, a time of reflecting on the promises of God and allowing them to shape our hope and our vision. A time where we can ask God to fill us once more with his empowering spirit, helping us both to live the life of disciples and also to give us boldness to proclaim his gospel. A time maybe where we can recommit ourselves again to the disciplines of discipleship as we prepare ourselves for all God has for us in this season and beyond. Jesus' promise of the Spirit was for the disciples and for all who know the Lord and believe in him. As we face a future filled with its uncertainties, our hope is found in the certainty of the truth of Christ, and each of us can pray for the Spirit to come upon us right where we are. So as I finish, I would love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for each person watching. If you'd like to open up your hands as a sign of receiving, you can. If not, that's fine. The Spirit is a gentle spirit. While the Spirit comes in immense power, the Spirit comes as we invite him. He comes with permission. So if you would like to, I invite you to simply pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, fill me. Reveal Jesus to me once again. And first I want to pray, if you haven't ever received the Holy Spirit before, Lord, I pray for those who receive for the first time, that they would be drawn deeper into your heart. That as you fill them with power from on high, they would know your love, your joy, and your peace in that filling. As I pray, I can sense people needing that hope of Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for all who are seeking hope at this time, that your Spirit would come and fill them, that your Spirit would remind them of your promises, that your hope would be brought to their hearts and their minds. And Lord, for all of us, I pray that you would fill us again and send us out. Send us out to witness to your name, to make disciples of all people. Holy Spirit, come and fill each of us this evening. Amen.